just happy to be in any place that's air conditioned. It helps working at the coolest radio station in town. News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM. Thanks for listening. Let me introduce you now to Wendell Potter. Wendell spent 2 decades as a corporate public relations executive in the health insurance industry. He spent 4 years at Humana and about 15 years or so at Cigna before I think the industry must have started just turning his stomach, because he is now speaking out about that industry and how it has pitted itself against the concept of health reform in this country. He now writes and talks for a group called the Center for Media and Democracy, who you can find online at prwatch.org. Wendell, welcome to News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM.
Well, thank you for inviting me. Glad to be talking with you.
Am I right that you finally got sick of the business or couldn't take what they were doing?
Well, that's exactly right. After 15 years at Cigna, and as you noted, 4 years at Humana, I did reach that point. And it really began probably 2 years before I left, as I saw the industry changing quite radically from the industry that I first started working for, as the industry was moving more and more people into what it referred to as consumer-driven plans. They're not consumer-driven at all. They're vehicles to shift more of the responsibility and the cost of health care from insurers and employers to consumers. So I became very disenchanted, and there were other things along the way that confirmed that and led to my final decision to leave the industry.
Did it come down to the simple word greed?
It actually did. One of my responsibilities toward the end of my career was communicating to the media the company's financial condition, and I had to know what Wall Street's expectations were for the company, for the industry, and I saw up close just exactly what the companies will do to satisfy Wall Street expectations.
We hear a lot about the concept of a public option, which President Obama wants and some congressional Democrats have been pushing for. The congressional Republicans and some of the Blue Dog Democrats have been fighting against it, and it looks now like there's a chance that it won't end up in whatever the final health care legislation turns out to be. But the people who oppose the concept of a public option, a government-subsidized health care plan, say it would mean the end of the private insurance industry. You worked in that industry. Is the end in sight?
Absolutely not. And that's they're using language that the health insurance industry wrote for them. It's absolutely not the case. The insurance industry is very nimble. They've adapted the business models of the companies now. They barely resemble what they were when I started working for the industry. They change their products very often. The one thing they know how to do is to make money. So it would not mean the end of the private insurance industry at all.
What I find amusing about the politicians who are against this is that they all have a government health care plan.
Oh, they do. Absolutely right. And it's one of the best that money can buy. And in fact, taxpayers certainly have to subsidize it for members of Congress. And also, many millions of Americans are in a highly praised and valued public plan, which is our Medicare system. It's not without problems, no, but health care reform can address the problems in our Medicare and Medicaid programs as well. But the people who are enrolled in that public plan, that government-run health care plan, are much happier in that plan than people who are in the private plans.
You mentioned that the Republicans seem to be spouting the same line over and over again. I heard some of them the other night. I think it was on the Rachel Maddow show. She put together a clip of a bunch of them all quoting something called the Lewin Group, as if it were a reputable health industry watch group. And it turns out that they are a subsidiary of an insurance company called United Healthcare.
So oh, that's right.
There's the insurance industry spouting its stuff to the GOP, which then spouts it as if it were from some nonpartisan group. You run into that a lot?
Oh, that's part of the strategy. They've done that for many years, and people have just been unaware of it. I think now some reporters like Rachel Maddow and you are revealing that strategy and those tactics, but it goes back at least as far back as the Clinton years. They did exactly the same kind of stuff, and the Lewin Group wasn't involved at that time, but there were others who did exactly the same thing.
Did you use them when you were in the insurance PR business?
Initially, the Lewin Group was an independent firm and did do some research that seemed to be independent. But since it's been owned by United, I think that, as I was telling someone recently, a research firm like that that's owned by a major insurer will not undertake a project that will have results that they will publish that will be opposing or in any way endangering the business model and objectives of the company that owns them.
I'm curious what message you would send to the Democrats in Congress to try to save health care reform or get it back on track. We'll talk about that when we come back in a moment here with Wendell Potter of the Center for Media and Democracy, online at prwatch.org, where you can read his blog. I'm Paul Harris, filling in for Dave Ross on News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM. Paul Harris, filling in for Dave Ross, to talk with Wendell Potter, former health insurance PR guy, worked for Cigna and Humana for nearly two decades, now blogs about the industry at the Center for Media Democracy, which is online at prwatch.org. There are some new numbers out from the Kaiser Foundation that say over the past decade, health insurance premiums have climbed 120% compared to the rate of inflation at 44%. Compared to the cumulative wage growth of just 29%. So in other words, health insurance costs have outstripped wage gains by 400%. And what does competition have to do with that? Well, there really isn't all that much. One insurer controls a median of 47% of every state's insurance market. In California, two of them control as much as 69% of the market. In five states, two insurers control 83% of the market. So even in a recession, health insurance profits are, for the most part, still climbing. Wendell, is there something immoral about that?
I've come to believe that it is wrong that the health insurance industry has become so for-profit and is so driven by greed and meeting the expectations of a few very wealthy and very large investors that we've reached the point of having 50 million of our citizens without access to insurance, without access to care because they don't have coverage, and another 25 million at least are underinsured. When you mention those figures about the rising cost of premiums, that's one thing. The other thing is something I mentioned a few minutes ago. These new plans are forcing us to pay a lot more out of our pockets, even after paying those premiums. So we're getting hit in two ways: the high premiums and the higher out-of-pocket expenses.
And, of course, employees have to put in a bigger share of what employers used to give us as a pure benefit several years ago. So
that's exactly right, and it's getting worse because the future is moving toward employers not contributing anything. So pretty soon, if we keep going down this path with the insurance companies in control of our healthcare system, we're going to find that the employers are going to be offloading all the premium costs on the shoulders of their working men and women.
Well, then what do you think of the idea being pushed again by some in Congress to force employers to offer insurance? I don't know if they could offer all of the insurance because I don't think they can afford it the way premiums are these days, but also forcing individuals to have insurance if they don't have it from an employer. What do you think of that?
Well, I think an employer mandate is not likely to happen, and if it is, it would have to exempt a lot of the small businesses because they simply cannot afford the premiums that are being charged by the insurance industry. And I think the things that I've seen would exempt a lot of businesses, as many as 86%, I heard today, of small businesses. The other mandate very possibly could pass, an individual mandate, which is kind of maddening to me. President Obama campaigned against it during the campaign. Now he seems to be warming up to it and stepping away from the idea of a public option. So I'm baffled. The insurance industry would love to have an individual mandate passed because it would mean that they would automatically have millions of new members that they could take premiums from and subsidies from the federal government if these people can't afford it, which, of course, they can't, or they'd already have insurance.
I think the word you were looking for was exploit.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what message would you send to congressional Democrats who are trying to get this done?
Stick to the guns and do the best they can to make sure we have, at the very least, a good public health insurance option as part of reform. Some of the ideas being floated around now as part of so-called bipartisan compromise, or that the Blue Dog Democrats are insisting on of having the idea of cooperatives or something like that, is nothing more than just handing a gift to the insurance industry.
You know, yesterday on the show I was talking about the public option and how people always say, you don't want the government doing this. Look at the DMV and the post office. Well, the DMV does a mediocre job, mostly because they don't have any competition. They've got a monopoly on who you're going to get your license and registration from. But the post office has to compete with FedEx and UPS. Nobody could say that having the government in the mail delivery business has hurt private industry that wanted to be in the package and document delivery business. And you can go on and on through all sorts of other examples of things where, you know, we have public transportation, but you don't have to take a bus. You could take a car of your own if you want. If you don't like the police and the job that they're doing in your subdivision, you can get rent-a-cops and security to do that. We have plenty of private industry that thrives and competes with government services. What's wrong with having it in the insurance business, especially considering the cost? It's the bottom line cost to all of us.
There's nothing, not only is there nothing wrong with it, it's vitally important that it be a part of reform. You're mentioning the term DMV. That is one of the scare tactics that comes straight out of the health insurer's playbook, and members of Congress are spouting that, and some of the business allies and ideological allies of the insurance industry as one of their fear-mongering scare tactics. It's coming straight from them. They don't want to have another competitor. They have worked very, very hard to reduce the number of insurance companies that compete in this country to the point that we have a cartel of about seven large for-profit insurance companies, and they don't want to have any more competition. They've been working very hard to get rid of competition.
Wendell, you were in the industry, so maybe you know the answer to this. When I pay my premium, how much of that is actually going to doctors or nurses or hospitals or other health care providers?
A lot less today than it did in just 15 years ago. 15 years ago, about 95 cents of every premium dollar went to pay claims to doctors and hospitals and other health care providers. Today, you're lucky if 80 cents is paid to the doctor. It's getting lower and lower, and that's because Wall Street is pushing it lower and lower. The less money that is paid in premiums, the more money is available to go into the pockets of shareholders.
Wendell, if you can, I'd like to have you on for one more segment here, but I got to take a quick break. Can you hang on?
Sure can.
I appreciate it. Wendell Potter from the Center for Media and Democracy, a former health insurance PR executive, here on the Dave Ross Show with Paul Harris on News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM. News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM, the Dave Ross Show. Paul Harris filling in. Proud to be behind the microphone. Thank you for listening. What do these countries have in common? Japan, France, Sweden, Australia, Iceland, Canada, Italy, Spain, Israel, Greece, Austria, the Netherlands, South Korea, Luxembourg, New Zealand, Germany, Belgium, the UK, and Finland. They all have universal health care, and they all have longer life expectancies than the United States. I think that's a big checkmark in the plus column for the concept of universal health care. Can we get there in the United States? Well, not if some of the insurance company lobbyists have something to do with it. If they have their say, we wouldn't get anything close to the health care reform that's been proposed. They love the status quo because it puts a lot of coin in their pockets and in the pockets of their shareholders. Wendell Potter used to be a PR guy for two of the biggest health insurance companies in America, Humana, and, well, for 15 years with Cigna, and now he is speaking out against that industry and in favor of meaningful health care reform. What do your former colleagues say to you now, Wendell?
I put them into two categories, the people who still work in the industry and those who don't. And those who don't work there, they've been very encouraging, and many of them have said, you know, I really applaud you and wish that, you know, I could do the same thing. It's not easy to do this, so I'm not surprised that I'm out here all by myself to a certain extent. Those who still work in the industry haven't called me, and I didn't expect that they would. I don't think they know exactly what to do about me.
What do you say to the Republicans who say, come on, what's your rush? Why do we have to take care of this right now? Why are you rushing into new policies?
You know, why are we rushing? We have gone, it's been 15 years since we last had this debate. The Republicans were in control of the White House for 8 years. What was going on then? Where were the Republicans then with meaningful reform? Give me a break. Those are those are talking points from the industry. The more they can stall this out, the more it gives the industry a chance to continue its fear-mongering campaign. You'll see a lot of ads during the month of August, a lot of them paid for by the insurance industry. Some of them you won't know are being paid for by the insurance industry to try to scare you away from reform. It's worked every time, and that's why they want to slow it down so that that can take effect.
You know, I remember them saying the same thing in 1993 and 1994 when Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton were trying to get some health care reform done. They were very effective at squashing it then, and effectively for 15 years keeping it squashed, weren't they?
They were, and Americans and I'm afraid people in the media and politics seem to have a remarkably short memory or no memory at all. This is exactly what happened during the Clinton years. Even the things they're saying, the promises the industry is making, is almost verbatim what it was back then.
President Obama is in North Carolina today, and he was speaking at a town hall meeting there about the economy and about health care in particular. And I think tying those two together has got to be an important part of the message, because it's the cost of not doing anything that is going to bankrupt us, right?
It is, and they are intertwined more than I think most people realize. People may worry and say that they don't want to pay any additional taxes to make sure that everyone in this country is covered. What they may not realize is they're paying a very large hidden tax right now because of this non-system that we've got that we call a healthcare system.
Yeah, I think it's something like $1,000 or $1,100 for every insured person in this country.
That's right, and as a consequence of that and the high cost, that the amount of money that it costs employers to try to offer health insurance to their workers, it's our companies are becoming, in the global marketplace, less competitive.
So if you were to talk to employers who find themselves up against the wall when it comes to health care premiums, not necessarily the people who are rallying against health care reform, but the employers of this country, the businesses that are struggling to make ends meet in a recession and can't find the money in their own checkbooks to pay for health care for everybody, completely on the company dime, what would you say to them about how they should get involved in this?
I think they need to take the long view of what is best for the American public and American business and for their own long-term viability. I think they really need to step back and not just look at the next 3 months or the next 6 months. It's very important for this nation's future for us to have a healthcare system that works and, like you noted, brings us into the same category as other developed countries that have figured this out and have figured out a way to make sure that everyone has coverage. You know, 20,000 people die in this country every year because they don't have access to health insurance. It's absurd and tragic that we have a health care system that is the way it is and that the insurance industry would like to perpetuate because of greed.
Absurd and tragic. Those are perfect words to describe it, Wendell. Thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me on your program.
Wendell Potter, a former health insurance public relations executive. He used to have to spit out the propaganda for these guys, and then it got too sickening to him, and so he's quit the business. And now he's online at prwatch.org at the Center for Media and Democracy. I'm Paul Harris. Dory's coming up next. Thanks for listening. The News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM.